Welcome to Dynamic Destiny with your host, Coach Pete, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I want to help you get unstuck, get clarity for your life's purpose, view things in a new way, and get your happy back. We won't just talk about theories on the show. We'll give you practical tools and wisdom that you can apply to your everyday life. So stay with me during this next hour as we unpack your powerful potential now. Hello, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Coach Pete, coming to you from New York City, and you're listening to Dynamic Destiny Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. Each first and third Wednesday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, we'll help you get unstuck and keep you moving forward toward your destiny. You can listen to the show on Facebook Live, your favorite podcast platform, YouTube, and my website, PeteCoaching.com. Hey, today I'm privileged to have a friend and a special guest with me, Juan Galloway, who's the president and CEO of New York City Relief. But before I introduce him, I wanted to just kind of give an end of season wrap up. Yeah. So radio shows, oftentimes they're packaged in a season. We've had 21 episodes. And I just kind of want to give a retrospective because Juan is going to help me bring in the final episode that wraps it all up and really makes it all pop if you really want to discover your destiny. So looking back on this season, we have talked about ways to discover the clues to your destiny. So we talked about gaining self-awareness, getting feedback from others. We talked about assessments like the Gallup-Clifton Strength Assessment. We looked at your own generational history, and we had a whole episode on how to hear from God. So those are all clues towards your destiny. We talked about ways to grow in your destiny, like finding a good career fit and practicing good goal setting and time management, how to handle setbacks and short-term failures, how to get through those, and lots of examples from my guests who are walking out their destinies. And we looked at avoiding some of the pitfalls that keep you from advancing in your destiny, things like unforgiveness, personal blind spots, discouragement, or getting too caught up in politics or judgmentalism toward others. Those are all things that'll stop you. So we've tried to cover the gamut, but there's one factor, one key that will tie all of this together. And I've been waiting to talk about it. We're going to do it here on my final episode, and Juan's going to help me unpack that. I can't think of a better person to help me. I want to introduce you to Juan Galloway. So Reverend Juan Galloway is the president and CEO of New York City Relief, a mobile outreach that serves the struggling and homeless. If you've paid attention to the show, I talk about New York City Relief or the Relief Bus. I love this organization. I volunteer for them. I donate, and I'm a big fan. I know nonprofit management, and these guys are doing a great job. I've seen it from both sides, both internal and external. They're doing a great job. Every year, New York City Relief takes thousands of volunteers from all over America to serve our friends living on the streets of New York City and New Jersey through their famous outreaches known as the Relief Bus or the Relief Buses. This year, New York City Relief celebrates 31 years of serving on the streets and has now served, get this, 7 million servings of food and beverage to the hungry. Juan has offered 3 books. He's the proud husband of Reverend Tracy Galloway and father of their 4 adult children, River, Hallie, Corbin, and Connor. Together, Juan and Tracy host a podcast about marriage and ministry titled 36 Questions. Please join me in welcoming Juan to the show. Yay, Juan, yes. The other thing I didn't mention, but besides, me getting to know Juan, he actually happens to be a coaching client as well. So maybe we'll wind up talking about coaching as well. Welcome, Juan. So glad to have you here.
Thanks, Pete. Great to be with you.
Yeah. So Juan, I usually kick off the show with a quote for the day, and I thought you could help me unpack this. Timely quote based on the topic we're going to unpack, which is, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. Again, that's whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. And that quote comes from Jesus Christ, who Juan and I both really look up to and love. The reason I picked this quote, and I'd love to help you, I'd love for you to help me unpack this a little bit. You've heard all the things we've talked about with Dynamic Destiny, all right? And a lot of this is about self-awareness. It's looking at yourself. And we have, you know, millennials love to talk about this stuff. And Gen Z is like, what's my life purpose? I want my life to count for something. But there's one key that we haven't really highlighted too much in this show yet, and this is the time to do it, is it's not about you. If you really want to understand your destiny and your purpose, it's about serving others. It's about other people. That's why I chose this quote today. If you try to keep your life and make it all about you and maximizing and me, you're going to lose your life. Doesn't mean you're going to die. Well, we're all going to die, but it means your soul, like the essence of why God made you and your purpose in life. You're going to lose sight of that, and you're going to wind up living actually a pretty shallow and winds up being miserable existence. But if you lose your life, I mean, if you give it away in service to others, that's where you find it. And it takes courage and it takes dedication, it takes intentionality to do those things. But Jesus said, that's where you're going to find your life. You're going to preserve your life. It's actually the thing that makes you come alive. Help me with this, Juan, because you're living this your whole adult life, serving the homeless in New York City.
Yeah, I tell you, it's interesting if you've ever traveled much like I have. And I don't mean travel as in stay in luxury resorts in other countries, although I appreciate that. It's really getting to know people in other cultures. You find out the richness of their culture. And usually Americans, we're really proud of who we are as far as our country. And we have a great country, a lovely country. But when you go to Africa and you go to Asia and you go to South America and you go to the islands, you discover this incredible generosity of spirit and hospitality, of which is always incredibly humbling, right? They're willing to basically give you the best food they have rather than eat it for, you know, themselves. And there's this joy in giving and serving others. And, you know, it's hard to know what to do with that as an American, because usually we feel like, oh no, I'd like to help you out or bless you in some way, right? Yeah. It's their joy to actually give, because they have this core value that I think, unfortunately, we're missing a lot in our culture. Unfortunately, you know, I grew up in the 80s as a teenager, you know, mm-hmm. It's kind of like whoever had the most toys wins, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that was a statement there was bumper stickers that said that. Whoever dies with the most toys wins.
Unfortunately, my family, my mom and dad, they lived by that motto, you could say. My father, when I was growing up, he had 13 Porsches. He had, you know, a couple of Rolls Royces. We lived in a home with 13 rooms, and 7 bathrooms, or 30 rooms, I should say. We had an elevator to the third floor. You know, we had a lot of stuff, but we were lacking those things, which I think really matter. We were really bankrupt morally and spiritually. And so my parents had a very thriving, successful business. They had it all. But it was pretty empty and pretty dark as a kid, is what I remember. Until there was a radical transformation that happened. And then we ended up, my parents started New York City Relief 31 years ago.
Juan, I gotta ask you, what was the transformation that led to the shift?
Well, it was basically God came into our lives, and God took the brokenness and the emptiness, and he redeemed and took all the things that were messed up and broken and damaged, and he turned it around and made it beautiful. And he gave us a life that was about living to bless others and serve others rather than just accumulate and get more for ourselves. I can tell you honestly today, I have the most beautiful family, Pete. I mean, my mom and dad, I talk to them all the time. My brother and sister, our families are so beautiful and healthy now. And I really look back to that life transformation that happened back then. It changed us forever.
Wow. That is like so dramatic. I mean, it's dramatic. So it's illustrative, and it gets our attention, but wow, you're living in the lap of luxury, but
you know, today my parents started this organization, which I lead, 31 years ago. And it wasn't because they had a lot of money. they didn't. At that point, they had invested it all in serving others. And so we really, you know, my mom and dad started with like courage, faith, and just guts to come to New York City from Texas at the time. And
oh, wow. So you were living in Texas and they migrated up here.
Right. I was in college. I just graduated high school and they felt called to come and serve the homeless in New York City.
Wow.
And they started with nothing except, you know, a dream and an old school, beat up school bus from the 70s, a 4-speed stick shift. And today, like you said, now we've served 7 million servings of food, but the food is only part of the, you know, the food is really to pull people in so we can actually connect as people and get to engage and know one another and value them. And that's when we become kind of come alive. All, not just our staff, but all the thousands of volunteers who serve with us from all over America. So it's a beautiful story that I still get to be a part of, living that legacy that my parents laid. And now we've had so many thousands of volunteers who come from all over America, and they just have this really transformative experience by just doing something simple, having a cup of soup with somebody who's been living on the streets, and not meeting them as a homeless person, but as a person.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, so I mentioned that I'm a volunteer, and this is, to be totally honest, I mean, I go to obviously serve people in need, but part of the reason I go is I need it. I need to go to recalibrate my life, realize my problems, they're real, but you got to put them in perspective. Like, I've got to get in touch with people in real pain, and like, And it just helps me reset everything. And you know, that whole thing you said about connecting with them as a person. And I don't know who, you know, you might be listening from New York. You might be in another part of the US. You might be in another country. In New York City, we have a big population of homeless people. And it's very easy to quickly get desensitized, especially at certain times of the month, like the end of the month when the welfare checks are running out and there's always a handout, you know, please, please help me. And you can shut down, you can get hardened and not look at them as a human anymore or as an individual. And whenever I go back to Relief Bus, always the next 2 weeks at least, I'm reconnecting with people and I'm looking them in the eye and I'm talking to them. And if I do have something to give them, I'll certainly do that. But you learn, you guys actually train us on how to better connect and serve with people in need. And it's awesome. It's been a great experience. And I also know, you know, from organizationally, administratively, because I told you I coach Juan, so I get involved with his organization. It's a very well-run organization, fiscally, and you know, just the passion and the heart that everybody on their staff serves with. It's a worthy cause. So look, I'm going to have links in the show notes to New York City Relief. I want to encourage you to get involved. Come up to New York and volunteer. Do that. But if you can't, donate, you know, or, you know, whatever you can do to help these guys, because it's like, in my mind, one of the Cadillacs of nonprofits to donate to. So, hey, you are listening to Dynamic Destiny with Coach Pete Cafarcio. I'm here with Juan Galloway, president and CEO of New York City Relief. And we're talking about the paradox that's going to unlock your destiny, which is if you try to keep your life just the way you want it, you're going to lose it. But if you give your life, you lose it and give it away, that's when you're going to find it. And Juan's been telling us his great background of how his parents started New York City Relief. And if you're just joining us, welcome. Juan, continue. Tell us more.
Yeah. So Pete, like you alluded to, New York City has the largest homeless population in America. There's like 80,000 people
who
are struggling with homelessness. Now, ironically, we're in a city with the most billionaires on earth. So you have wealth and poverty right up against each other. Mm. And this dynamic of an incredible diverse from every nation on earth population in New York City. And so what we do that's unique is we have a mobile soup kitchens. These buses basically open up like a transformer. The soup goes out, the smiles light up, people are excited, they get to sit down and not just have a cup of soup, but they get to meet somebody who cares. the staff, the volunteers, we don't just dole it out. We actually ask them, what are your stories? Tell us what's going on. We want to listen. We want to hear from you. We value you as a person. And then, of course, they want to hear our stories. And we just, you know, something magical happens in those moments that's really hard to explain, but you've experienced it yourself.
I have. And that's a great way to describe it. And one of the things I learned from watching you guys, and you taught me, like one says when they open up the bus and they transform it into the soup kitchen, this is not random. So they show up in the same places every week on a very regular basis. And I didn't know this, but that helps build trust. The homeless population, most of the time, have been like abused in a lot of different ways. And it's really hard for them to trust people again. And so by consistently showing up, the same, a lot of times it's the same staff and a welcoming environment, you go and you just feel the hospitality. There's tables and chairs set up on the sidewalk, tents to protect you from the elements. And it makes that environment a whole lot more conducive to building that trust and to making those kind of connections. That has helped me. I've got a homeless guy in my neighborhood. He's a fixture here. And I had to realize, you know what, Pete, take it easy. Just keep being consistent. Keep reaching out to him so that he can start to trust you more so we can make some connection there. And I always look him in the eye. That's another thing I learned from you guys.
Yeah, and you know, all of it is building relationship because they're so isolated. I mean, it's ironic, 20 million people, I think, you know, in the metro area, and they're all alone. And so that, of course, is psychologically crushing. And to see so much wealth and to be so deprived, it makes someone feel as if, you know, I'm a nothing and I'm headed nowhere and I've got no future. And so by building the rapport and treating them like a human, we humanize them, their self-esteem starts to pop a little, they start to spark, and it's like, we're here to help. Not only are we just your friend, we'll help you find a shelter, housing, job training, detox, rehab, addiction recovery help, you know, really anything we can do, medical care, to help them get back on their feet. So it's practical tools, it's social work, it's follow-up care. It's a very complex, you know, people's lives are pretty messy by this point. It's a disaster zone. And so we go in there, we go in deep to say, we're in for the long haul and we're going to hold your hand. We're going to do this together. You know, we're not better than you. We just got some things we'd like to share so that you can take your life back.
Okay. Awesome. This is great. And the best part about everything you're telling me right now is this is not theory and it's not lip service. You have given your life completely to making this happen. One, staying on the theme that we're talking about here, like give, you know, if you try to preserve your life, you're going to lose it. You know, we're a lot of at least middle income Americans and more, we're always thinking, solve a problem. How can I solve a problem? And here you are, 80,000 homeless in New York City. You're not reaching all 80,000 of them. And also the issues that people come to you with, you know, the things that are causative for becoming homeless. And by the way, I know from volunteering, it's not just people who have no home. It's a lot of like really low income people, people that are trying to supplement and have those kind of connections. But what if somebody, you know, would say, oh, well, you know, you're not going to solve that problem. You're not going to make a difference. I've got to imagine for you yourself, the need when you think about it from a big picture, it's got to sometimes feel crushing or like, are you really making a difference?
Right.
What do you tell yourself in those situations?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people think that it's so overwhelming, especially in New York City or other cities, to see homeless people everywhere maybe. And it's like, well, what good is my dollar going to do or my 5 minutes going to do or whatever. And I think we're looking, of course, through the wrong lens when we do that.
What's the right lens?
Well, I think when it's to see every individual as somebody's son, somebody's daughter. I have four kids, Pete. What if that was, in fact, one of my daughters has special needs? What if my special needs daughter was on the street begging? Would I see them as a nuisance and a loafer and someone who's just, you know, trying to leech off society? Of course not.
Oh, it's your fault. Yeah.
I would say, oh my God, let's do something, right? I mean, it's my daughter. I would do anything for my daughter, right? Mm. And that is someone's daughter, and they are precious. And I think that we need to see them through that value system that says, you know, regardless of if this person is begging, if this person is able to hold a job, you know, all these preconceptions and stigmas and stereotypes, it's just, what if it was me? Would I want someone to treat me with kindness, regardless of if I was going to get a job the next day, right? Or go to college. And by the way, I've seen people get jobs and get off the street. I've seen people get their college degrees and get off the streets. This is happening. This is not, you know, oh, it's just impossible. No, people's lives are being changed every day because someone shows up and cares enough to believe in them. I'm sure, Pete, you had people believe in you, and that's how you
absolutely.
Yeah. I absolutely had people who changed my life because they thought I was worth investing in, right? And telling me, like, I believe in you, Juan. You got this. You can do this. And when I didn't believe in myself, well, everyone deserves somebody like that in their life to say, I think you're worth it. I see value in you. And for me as a Christian, I see God in you. I see you made beautiful in the image of your father. Just like every father sees his own kid and you're like, oh, that kid looks like me. You know, it's like you just see something special. Even when the outside maybe doesn't look so beautiful or things aren't going right, you see through that and you see potential. And that doesn't come natural to all of us, okay? Looking through the outside facade, which may not be pretty, maybe dirty, and to see, you know, there's something that is more beautiful than anything in the universe inside this soul, right? And that takes, I think, for us as Americans, taking off the faulty lenses, you know, cleaning them off. There's a lot of gunk on here. That's my culture.
Putting
them on, I think, with God's perspective and saying, oh, wow, this person is really cool. And you don't know it unless you get proximate, you get close. You ask them, who are you? Where are you from? Tell me, what's your dream? And I love that. That's my job. I get to ask someone who's homeless, who's sleeping on the subway, what's your dream, Bob? What's your dream, Terry? And a lot of the answers I get are sometimes it's sad. It's heartbreaking. Wow, dreams? I don't have a dream, man. I'm just living day to day. But other times it's like, you know, I just want to get a job doing construction or maintenance or, you know, something so simple, getting a security job. And of course, my immediate response is, I think you'd be great at that. I can see that in you. You got this, you know, maybe we can help, I hope. But I think you could be really good at that, you know, just believing in them, no matter what the dream is.
Wow. Hey, Juan, real timely issue right now. Thank you, by the way. This is awesome. And my listeners can all tell, they can see the passion in you right now, which is great. Juan, what the heck is going on right now with the pandemic? How is that affecting the homeless population? How is that affecting the way you guys minister to them?
Yeah, it has been difficult. It's been really difficult. You know, in New York City, we already had a humanitarian crisis with 80,000 people homeless. That is a disaster in any place.
Yeah, right, right. We don't need a pandemic.
And then comes, this wave of infection, which shuts down every restaurant, coffee shop, public restrooms. You know, where are they supposed to go? Because we're all being told, stay home, stay safe. What are you supposed to do when you can't stay home and it's impossible to be safe? You know, when your shelter system in your city is filled with people who are coughing and infected with COVID. And so you have to literally flee from the place of safety, the shelter, and maybe sleep on the subway. And then they kick everybody out of the subway in order to clean it out to keep people safe. You know, and it was cold in the beginning of the pandemic, okay? It was early spring and it was freezing sometimes, literally, outside. And so it was a disaster, Pete. I was afraid, honestly. I was nervous. I was afraid. And basically now there's documented 1,500 cases of homeless people who contracted COVID. And now 100 people have died who were homeless from this. Currently, we've got about 77 homeless people who we know have the virus. The truth is these numbers don't reflect reality. So many homeless people never got tested, will not get tested, and are passing away. and we'll never even know their names. And so this was a very scary time for us. What we saw was more people coming to our outreaches, and we have 7 outreaches a week. We saw more numbers down the street, around the block, lines like I've never seen in 31 years.
Wow. People
are desperate and afraid. They need just the basic food to survive because many of the services for the homeless community have been shuttered during the pandemic, especially the beginning of the pandemic. And so the desperation was so real and tangible. And so we had to keep them spread out 6 feet apart around the block, right? We had to provide masks. We had to find masks. We had to provide hand sanitizer. And we put sinks out at our outreaches so they could wash their hands. And they love this. They're like, thank you so much for doing this for us. We've never even seen portable sinks, right? And so we're giving wow. them we're giving them the to-go meals now.
So you're still doing the soup, but you're instead of handing it to them, you're put in a to-go container.
Yeah, it's like a sack lunch so that they won't, you know, be mobbed up together and possibly infect each other, but mm-hmm. they can safely disperse and feed themselves with hot food,
yeah.
you know, and nutritional food to keep themselves alive. And then, of course, the few resources that still exist, we're the experts telling them, here's where you can find clothes, here's where you can find showers, because every, you know, door has been closed, even the shelters, many of them, they won't let anybody inside, and so they can't get a shower. So we're providing even cell phones now so that they can get in touch with our follow-up care team so we can continue to journey with them and get them what they need to survive.
Yeah. Well, one of the just overall narratives around COVID, first, a lot of people, this is an inconvenience, but for people who already have issues, this could push them over the edge. And yeah. Okay. Well, I'm Coach Pete. You're listening to Dynamic Destiny Radio with my guest, Juan Galloway, who is the president and CEO of New York City Relief. When we come back, we're going to hear more about Juan's own destiny of how he came into this and the life message that he's developed. And I encourage you to stay tuned because we're going to be right back.
Do you drive yourself crazy trying to make important decisions? And when you finally do, then you start second-guessing yourself. Would you like to know why you do this and how to change it? You can. When you take time to go inward, you'll find a wisdom that resides in the body. Begin by quieting your mind and sending your awareness into your body. Notice where there may be a discomfort. Ask it what it wants you to know. Listen carefully. It will reveal what it is about making this decision which holds you back. You can keep asking for information until you reach the deep core value of what keeps you from comfortably making a decision and sticking with it. Awareness is the first step toward making change. I'm Carrie Kadambi, and I'd love for you to join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit my website, thedivineguidancegift.com.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving. Even in the face of adversity, say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
We're back on Dynamic Destiny Radio with Coach Pete, where we unpack your powerful potential. As a reminder, you can catch archived episodes and get lots of helpful content and resources at my website, petecoaching.com. That's petecoaching.com. Well, we're here with my special guest, Juan Galloway, who's the president and CEO of New York City Relief. It's a outreach to the homeless population here in New York City. And we've been having a great time hearing more about the great work that you're doing. But we're also talking about general concepts. I'd love to have guests on my show who are walking out a life purpose and a destiny. Juan, what would you say is your life message that you've discovered as you've been serving people?
Yeah, well, I am a minister, Pete. So I definitely, all my destiny is wrapped up in God. And, you know, really, I feel like a lot of people get hung up with the vertical, you know, connection to God, the form and the style and all that.
But I what do you mean vertical connection with God? Can you explain that a little bit?
How we approach him through our religious activities.
Okay.
That could be mass for some people. It could be prayer. It could be singing songs. It could be going to church. But I think where I've had the most breakthrough is with God and my destiny and growing as a person is the horizontal connection to people. Is that when I connect with people, you know, people are made in the image of God. And so when I connect with people, that's where this thing I'm searching for, which is love, because God is love, it becomes real, it gains traction, it transforms me and the people around me. And so I meet God so much on the horizontal, as much or more so sometimes, than that vertical kind of religious, you know, processes that I do. And I do love all of those things as well. But I'm the person that actually takes thousands of people a year, or my team does, out onto the streets to meet people who most people don't want to talk to or have anything to do with, right?
Yeah.
It's not people who've been kind of the pariahs of our society, but we find these diamonds in the rough, right? We find these people who are amazing, and we meet, the Bible says in Matthew 25, Jesus said it himself. He said, when you do it unto one of the least of these, and when he says one of the least of these, he's talking about the poor, the sick, the handicapped, the prisoner, people who are lower in society. He says, when you do something to them, to help them, to love them, you're doing it unto me. And so there's this cosmic, you know, spiritual crazy thing that when we meet someone who's broken or struggling, when we actually are meeting God through that person, and there's something about that connection, that interaction, that frees us up and helps us to become the kind of person we've always been wanting to be, you know, more selfless, right? Less selfish, more others focused. And so, and that's what your whole theme is right now, right? Is talking about.
Well, Juan, okay. So I've discovered the power of what you're talking about. I wish I could say I'm walking it out as frequently as I want, but so that's why I force myself. I schedule this, like go volunteer, go outreach. What would you say to somebody who's like, yeah, I want that, but I just can't bring myself to do it, or I wouldn't know what to do if I actually did it. I like what you're telling me, but I just can't seem to make the leap or whatever. I mean, what would you tell someone like that?
Yeah, well, I think most people feel that way. Anytime we're facing a new, you know, challenge, or we're taking a risk, something that's out of
It's a risk for sure. Yeah. It's out of your comfort zone.
It's out of our comfort zone. And we're like, well, I don't know what to tell this person. I don't know how to help this person. I don't know. What if they say something weird and I don't know what to say? And it's like, just stop it.
That's all about you, isn't it?
just put aside all of those things. And here's what I do, Pete. And even though I do this for a living, if you want to follow that way, I carry around socks in my laptop bag, you know, because I'm a business guy. I'm going to meetings in New York City, back and forth to the high rises. And I'm passing people who are obviously begging. And I just stop, and because I carry socks, they're brand. In fact, I have some right here. I have a brand new pair of Bombas socks.
Oh, they advertise that they give away, what is it, like what?
Pair you buy, they give one away to someone who's struggling with homelessness.
Okay.
So I stop and I see the person and I say, excuse me, would you like a brand new pair of socks? And let me tell you, this is the number one thing people ask for who are homeless in America is socks, because they live on their feet.
Mm.
They can't take a shower very often. This is a lifesaver. And so, of course, they go, oh, yes, thank you. And it opens the door, and I say, my name's Juan Galloway. What's your name? And I shake their hand. I touch them. You know, I offer it, at least. And I do, just right there, I have broken through invisible walls of so many kinds and just start to acknowledge them as a person, connect with them, ask them their name to show I care. I'm identifying you're a real person, not a homeless guy. And I want to have a moment, you know, and just treat you as I would treat anyone in society. And I can tell you, Pete, 9.9 times out of 10, I have a great interaction. You know, they appreciate it. They smile most of the time because they're happy that I gave them the time of day. I'm not doing much. I usually spend about 5 minutes in that interaction. And I just get to know them.
Well, what we were talking about earlier, you don't feel like you have to solve all of their problems. You're just recognizing their humanity and making that connection.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like you read that verse or that quote, right, from the Bible that Jesus said. You know, if I can get outside of myself for a minute, it's probably going to be pretty healthy. Because all my anxieties and fears and all these, you know, me, and what about this and that, the stresses we all have. I have stresses in my life. But it's like, let me just focus on somebody else for a minute who obviously is probably pretty worse off than I am. And just let me just connect with somebody, human to human,
yeah.
Right? And I find it's a beautiful experience for them and me. And I usually carry a little connection card with me. I wish I had one right now. I wasn't prepared, but it's basically a little like business card. It folds up and it shows all of our outreach locations. So I say, why don't you come see us? Have a cup of soup. Maybe we can help.
Keep talking.
You got some?
I think I have mine.
Yeah, I think I have one. Now I think about it, it's in my wallet. I carry them pretty much all the time. Let's see if I have one. Of course I don't.
Oh, well. Yeah, but they're great things to hand out.
I carry them in my bag and I give them out. And basically, it's this moment to just not worry about, I can't, you know, solve all their problems. It's just acknowledging them. And, you know, because I do know this organization that I lead pretty well, I'm able to point them towards that.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, you know, I think in hearing you share, I'm kind of hearing a paradox. Like, the very thing that most of us want, which is fulfillment and love. Everybody wants love and need love. You get it by taking the first step and giving it away.
That's it. It's so simple, right? And yet we can get so paralyzed social stigma, by fear, discomfort.
Overthinking things.
Yeah, I wrote this book called Provoked.
Yeah, tell us about your book.
So the book is all about how I have been provoked, you know, I'm an introvert, Pete. I don't even like talking to strangers, okay? It's not my thing. I'd rather not talk to anybody. My wife will talk to everybody, you know, in line at the grocery store. I don't want to hear anything from anybody. But yet, that's not the kind of shallow, selfish life I really want. So God, I feel, has pushed me or provoked me into caring about people. Stepping into their lives and acknowledging them and connecting at a deep level. So the subtitle of my book is how to love people relentlessly and do beautiful works that make you and others come alive. And this is my story of my life, really, because I've worked at New York City, I believe 17 years. And as a natural introvert, to go out and to talk to hundreds and now thousands of homeless people, men and women, it's like, it's changed me. It's made me, you know, value people in a way I didn't naturally value people, honestly, and break through so that I do care more about people. I actually do love people more, but God had to provoke me, you know, push my buttons a little bit. And, one quote from my book is that Jesus provoked people constantly. Everybody thinks of him as this, you know, meek and mild, like, you know, you see paintings where he's holding a lamb. A hippie, like, hey man, everything's cool. But the guy was really provocative.
Oh, he is very controversial. Yeah.
I mean, he was desperate for people. He provoked people not to just for the sake of stirring it up. He was desperate for people to experience the destiny that God had for them. He wanted their life to be amazing, but he knew he had to push them a little. And he didn't push their buttons just to make them angry, you know, but to shock them out of the stupor. We all get stuck. I get stuck too.
Juan, can you share, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you tell a specific story of a time when you were in a comfort zone and there was some kind of a prompt and you didn't want to, but you did, you took the step and something came about from that?
Yeah. So this is a long one. This goes way back. I mean, this probably goes back 15 years or something. I was out on an outreach with New York City Relief on the relief bus. And I think I was in Harlem or the Bronx. And I saw this man who was, you might say he looked stereotypically homeless. He had a big beard. He's African-American. And he was kind of scruffy, okay? And he was sitting on some steps eating a cup of our soup. And I had my go-to opening line. You know, I do this every week. I'm like, hey, how's the soup? Because the soup is awesome, Pete. Okay?
It really is. This is very good soup. The best soup in New York City.
So they're always like, great, you know? And then that's a great discussion icebreaker, right? But here's what this guy did. He just looked at me and went, he just turned his head, ignored me, and gave me the cold shoulder. He was grumpy. He was rude.
Literally gave you the cold shoulder.
Right, literally. And I was like, okay, no problem, man. I don't want to bother you. Enjoy your soup. And I walked over to our staff and I said, hey, who's that guy? You know? And he said, oh, that's Willie. And I was like, well, who's Willie? And he said, oh, I'll go talk to him. I'll introduce you. I'll warm him up. And I was like, well, you don't have to. I don't want to bother him, you know?
Yeah.
We don't push people. And so, but he did introduce me. And I found out Willie had been coming to our bus for 10 years. 10 years. He had been living on the streets. He had been, you know, as you can tell, like broken down, just having a bad life, really. He had hit rock bottom. He didn't have a beautiful future ahead of him. He had the opposite. Odds are he was going to end up in prison or dead. That was the odds, you know. And so, I had no breakthrough that day. I had no luck other than to maybe just learn his name and say hello, but I left him alone. And so this guy didn't want to have anything to do with me. And so there was this two women who were older. They were both Italian. You know something about that, Pete.
I do.
I think they're both Catholic. Anyway, they had come to serve with us. And, you know, one was named Jean and her best friend was Jeannie. And so they grew up in the Bronx, but they had moved out of the Bronx. They'd made it in business, very successful business people. But they came back to the old neighborhood to serve with us. And something happened, Pete, because they begin to get a rapport going over a year's time of getting Willie to smile. I couldn't do it, but they did, because what I found out later, Pete, is that Willie came from upstate New York. His mom had left him, abandoned him, and gone to New York City as a teenager, a young man. And so he ran away from home. He had been left with aunts and uncles. He came into New York City to find his mom. This is before internet. You know, of course, he couldn't find his mom. He ends up homeless on the streets of New York City. He's homeless for 40 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Addicted to drugs, ended up with all the wrong people, bad habits, no family, no support system. And so he'd been coming to our outreach for 10 years. And so these two women, they began to serve as almost the mother he never had.
Mm-hmm.
And so Willie became very sick. He actually was taken to the hospital. He's vomiting blood. I'm sorry to be so graphic, but it was life-threatening. And Gene and Jeannie found out, word on the street, Willie was in the hospital. They came to see him. They brought balloons and candy and cards. His mind was blown. And he decided that day, I didn't believe in myself and that I could change. But he told me, he said, because they believe me in me, I decided maybe I'll give it a try. Maybe I can change. And so he's my friend today, because years ago when he got out of the hospital, he got off the streets. He got into a rehabilitation program. His spiritual life came alive. He has his own apartment. He's a new man. He's been reunited with his daughter and grandchildren. I mean, the man has a second lease on life. He's on my Facebook friend list. He'll text me, he'll message me, he checks in on me. And it's a beautiful thing, Pete, that, you know what? From the outside, when I looked at that guy, I thought, no good will ever come of this, right? Through my human eyes. Yeah. But because, and let me tell you a secret, those two women, they were scared to get out of the bus. They wouldn't even get out of the bus to go talk to people, but they just used, through the window, they just spent their energy and their love and affection on this man because they saw something beautiful in him that he couldn't see in himself. And so just because they showed up, Pete, and I think that's a long story to give a simple answer, just show up.
Okay, just show up. So that's the get over your hurdle. By the way, I got to say, that's another thing I love about your organization. I know I'm going on and on about New York City Relief, but I think you guys do a great job of taking people who are just willing, and like, you don't have to have special training, or although you give some really good online video training, it's not that long, just to get you warmed up to it. But if you just show up, you guys have a great way to quickly take people, stick them in a slot. There's a lot of different ways to serve. And you're experiencing, I say success, experiencing success as a volunteer, meaning you're feeling useful, and you can start to make those connections. I remember when I first started out, I went to the Newark outreach and I was like scared to death. And I'm like, what do I say? I can't relate to this culture. I think, okay, now I'm living in Washington Heights for 4 years. And I went to the Harlem outreach, which is right next door. And I'm like, oh yeah, I know everything that's going on here. I know what these people are going through, what they're living through. And you warm up and you learn, you know, if you just step out of the comfort zone. But I love the Relief Bus, New York City Relief, because it lets you take those baby steps and you can grow into it. You know, I never wanted to do was to sit with people on the sidewalk in the chairs and just visit with them. I'm like, what am I going to talk about? And you know what I found out? They actually helped me. As I would just be there and be present and start conversations, they're the ones who helped me open up and like just lose, you know, the pretension and all that other stuff, and just really helped me connect. Juan, I think it's time for Make It Real Challenge. So if you could give me a drum roll, we'll this is going to be our final Make It Real Challenge of the season. Here we go. Ready? Bam. Okay. Here's your Make It Real Challenge. If you live in Metro New York area, I want you to contact New York City Relief. The links are going to be in the show notes here, or just Google New York City Relief and sign up to volunteer. Okay. Now in COVID, if you're over 50 years old, they're not going to let you volunteer if you're under 18, but if you're in that age groups, do it. If you can't, I got a fallback for you. Get Juan's book, Go Get Provoked. Okay. That's also going to be in the show notes. And you can read about it and it'll sensitize you to it, to not just, this isn't just, if you think this show is about homelessness, you're missing the picture. Okay. It's about giving your life away to serve other people. And that's where you're going to find your destiny, your purpose. And just like Juan said, what a beautiful life message he said. Hey, you know, I used to think it was all about the vertical, but now I'm helping people get unstuck out of a religious trapping and realize at the horizontal is really where you're going to also connect with God in a lot of ways, even more meaningfully. So that's awesome. Hey, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the show. As we wind down, I do have a favor to ask. If you benefit from the show, and we've had a whole season, if you benefit, please, please, please share this with other people, let them know. All of the archived episodes are on YouTube now, and they're all in a playlist. Okay, Dynamic Destiny. Just Google it, Dynamic Destiny, or go to YouTube, search for it. You'll find it there. Share it with your friends. If you're listening to this on the podcast, like the podcast. Okay, these are all things. These ratings help to drive up what the platforms view, and they'll help to promote it more. That would really help us get the word out on Dynamic Destiny. I want to review the quote for the day again. And it, which is, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. And that's from Jesus Christ. We just have like a minute or a minute and a half left. Final words from you. Anything you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I just it's funny that the more we try to climb up and achieve more for ourselves, the more sometimes our soul turns into kind of a black hole. You can never fill it enough, right? With achievement, performance, things.
Material things, yeah.
Material things, whatever, But when you get outside of yourself and you connect with someone very different than you, maybe a different race, different culture, different background, different religion, whatever, right? Whatever. They become a mirror, and there's something transformational about that. As you enter into their world, you begin to see your own life more clearly. It's ironic. You do this for them, but then it benefits you. And so, that's the whole theme of this show. And so I just want to challenge people, like, if you want to be rich in life, not just in your bank account, if you want your life to be full of just richness and fullness and satisfaction, and one that's just thriving, and one that other people come and they really get to enjoy you, not put up with you. It's really about being the kind of person, and this is the way Jesus was. He was approachable by the rich, the poor, children, the aged, whatever. He was accessible. And so think about making your life more accessible to people who may be nothing like you, but then once you get to know them, you'll find out you have a lot more in common than you think.
All right. Hey, that's great. Great message. Hey, I want to thank all of you for tuning in to Dynamic Destiny Radio. I especially want to thank my guest, Juan Galloway, President and CEO of New York City Relief. Thanks, Juan. You did great, and you taught us so much. I had a wonderful time. I hope you did too. Please like and share this. And again, all the archived episodes are available on YouTube. I'd like to say tune in next time, but we've ended the season here, and I'll certainly let everyone know when the next season fires up. And I want to leave you with our parting thought. We always do this. Remember that you really are God's gift to the world, but we need you to be the best version of you that you can be. We're depending on you. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on Dynamic Destiny with Coach Pete on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join us next time to discover new ways to get clarity and make a positive impact in your world. Learn more about Coach Pete by visiting PeteCoaching.com. That's PeteCoaching.com.